Greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Good to be here and see your hunger and coming back again. Humbles our own hearts. Thank you, brother, for those words at the beginning. I have here at the beginning of my page one of the definitions of revival: to raise from languor, depression, or discouragement, to rouse as to revive the spirits or courage. When the Lord does things like that, dear, makes you worship and humbles you tremendously. Have a couple verses here at the beginning. Luke 18:8 says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" We maybe will look at more of the context later. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. To please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Praise the Lord. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's true. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Take word note of the word diligent. Jude 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Diligence, earnestly contending, faith. Over in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." Here they were having their widows, they had a problem. So the thing that come forth was, "Brethren, look out from among you seven men of honest report," verse 3, "full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And verse 5, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they choose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." And in verse 8 it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And over in Acts 11, verse 24, we have these verses. Talking about the testimony of Barnabas, it says he was a good man and full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And then let's turn to Romans 4, 16 to 25. Verse 16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This wasn't only written for them back there, but it's written for us today too. It tells us it's not written for his sake alone, but for us, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Imputed righteousness. Tonight what we want to talk about is I'm not sure if this is too strong or not, but hell shaking faith. The faith that I have, the faith that you have, does it make the devil tremble? The Bible says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and carried into the midst of the sea, and it shall be done. You could call it faith that moves mountains. But dear brothers and sisters, it could be feelings might come, but it's a fact. And it is something that is in your will. And it's something that bursts out of your heart. And it's something that is not some big emotion. I believe in these last days, as times get perilous and it gets darker and darker and more perilous, we're going to need faith. And we read that verse there in Luke 8:18 that tells, Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? And also we read that verse there in Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And also it tells us there in Jude 3 that we must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. What is faith? Faith of the gospel is that emotion of the mind which is called trust or confidence, exercised toward the moral character of God and particularly of the Savior. Faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. Faith is a firm, cordial belief in the veracity or the habitual truth of God, in all the declarations of His Word, or a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared, and because He has declared them. The strong says it's a persuasion, a credence, a moral conviction of religious truth. And if we would read there in Ephesians 4, I believe it is, till we come in the unity of the faith, the Bible tells us there, I think is how it says it. And that is the persuasion, the credence, or if you would look at what Jude 3 tells us, of earnestly contending for the faith That's just not believing God for your salvation, but it also means that is your belief. And that is what you practice in your life. And so here this evening, that is part of faith. Now, faith also though is our believing in the Lord, affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. We read it there in Romans 4. It says about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, in verse 18, that he might become the father of many nations, according as that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The object of Abraham's faith was not God's promise. That was the occasion of the exercise. His faith rested on God Himself. And that's where our faith is, will need to be. And in other words, faith is getting the eyes of your heart on God and keeping them there. And hell-shaking faith, we'll see where we need it. And it's one of the things that will keep us in the last days from drifting, but it'll also make us a powerhouse for the Lord. Now, we looked at faith. What is the opposite of faith? Unbelief. Right. What is unbelief? It's faithlessness is what unbelief is. Negatively, disbelief, lack of Christian faith, unfaithfulness, disobedience. That's what unbelief is. And here this evening, emotional people have more problems with this than people that aren't emotional. And tonight, if you're more of an emotional person, why, you have problems with this thing of unbelief a little more than if you're living by facts and you just take things by facts and that's the type of makeup you are. In other words, unbelief is not turning your heart to God and seeing God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 3, verse 12. Tells us, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When we are full of unbelief, if you're seeing a departure in the Christian faith, you can tell that unbelief is present. Because we must be careful, the Bible warns us here, that we don't have that heart of unbelief that is departing, that is going away, that is turning from the living God. And here this evening, that's serious business for the Lord. Serious business. When we have unbelief, we can't see the deceitfulness of sin. And sin this evening is deceitful. It is something that the devil will twist so that he'll make it actually look pretty. And inside of that pretty lure is a hook. And that's what sin is. Matthew 13, verse 58. Matthew 13:58. it hinders God from moving mightily. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That he was talking about of his own country, right there in Nazareth. He was rejected, and they couldn't believe that the Lord Jesus could be doing these mighty works. And because of that, he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It robs God of his power and glory. It does. And it's something that is as a snare to the Christian. Let's give ourselves a test this evening. Let's give ourselves a test and see whether we're in unbelief or whether we're in faith. Let's look at some symptoms of unbelief. Numbers 13, 31 to 33. At the beginning of the chapter here, it talks about Joshua and Caleb, and we'll come back to them later. But it tells us in verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Do you think that was faithful attitudes? Or an attitude of unbelief? In those 10 was an attitude of unbelief. Let's bring that thing a little bit closer home to our lives. What is it here? It's a negative attitude. Negative attitudes are unbelief. Negative attitudes are attitudes that hinder God from doing mighty things. The weather is always wrong. The preacher is always wrong. The church is always wrong. Pessimism. Everything is down. Anything good will turn bad and anything bad will turn worse. I can't do it. Hopelessness. This will never change. Attitudes of unbelief. Symptoms of unbelief. Symptoms that will hinder God from coming through in your life. Coming through in your neighbor's life. Coming through and keeping you strong all the way to the end. Negative attitudes. Something the Lord is working on me. Turn to Numbers 21, 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Discouragement is another symptom of unbelief. Discouragement. What is discouragement? Feeling like giving up. Feeling like it's not worth it. Feeling like I can't do it. Feeling like no one understands or cares. I may as well give up. God is not on the scene. God is not on the scene. Focusing on earthly abilities instead of the power of God, or losing sight of God's promises and provisions. And that's what the people did here. They were much discouraged by the way, verse 5 says, "And the people speak against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people." Unbelief. Discouragement. Here the people finally started seeing that they weren't just talking against God. They weren't murmuring just against God. They were murmuring against Moses, they said. "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee." And this day and age which we're living in, I'm appalled. In the disrespect for authority that's in this land and that's in the churches. Unbelief is what it is. And it just grieves my heart. I can't understand. We'll see later how there's a man of God in the Bible that wasn't an Israelite, that knew the principle, and he was full of faith. He knew the principle. Dear fathers, Colossians 3 verse 21. You keep praying and keep coming back, because these messages are going to build one on top of another. And I don't know where the Lord is all going to take us, but He's got exciting things for us this week, I do believe, with all of my heart. Colossians 3:21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Fathers, when we don't nurture, when we don't train, when we don't lead, and when we don't give direction, the children actually feel rejection and misunderstanding. And the one they're looking to see God's love and guidance, is letting them down. And that's why they get discouraged. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, if you would turn over to Ephesians 6, it tells us, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And we'll see if the Lord will give us liberty to talk more on that later in the week. But if we don't nurture them, if we don't admonish our children, they'll get discouraged. And then the one they're looking to for God's love, for God's acceptance, we're actually a picture to our small children, for sure, of God's love, God's acceptance, fathers. And then when we don't nurture, when we don't admonish, they grow up, they can become angry, and they can be discouraged. And what is discouragement? But it's a thing of unbelief. And we don't want to go there. We want to stay out of that. We want to be on the faith side of life. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings 19:4. Talking of Elijah, after he had that mountain high experience on Mount Carmel, what happened? "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, And he requested for himself that he might die, and he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Depression. Elijah here was depressed. And if you think about it, after these meetings are over, you pray for me. Because that's what the devil does. You come out of highs and things like that, he takes you and he tempts you with this very thing right here. And he tries and gets you to be depressed. And it's a response to all of life. I'll never amount to anything. And I don't know your backgrounds. I don't know where you come from. But if you ever heard the words, "You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. And you were kicked around when you were a little child. And treated wrongfully. And your dad or mom verbally abused you." My dear friend, there is hope. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to say tonight that you'll never amount to anything. In Jesus Christ, there is hope. And there is a bright future. And if you are one of those people, you come up here and share that this evening, because that can breed unforgiveness and bitterness, and through that, depression can come, and God can't do miraculous things in your life. So, but there is hope. That's a lie from the devil. If you were told you'll never amount to anything, God loves you, and He has a purpose in mind for you, and He has your good in mind. And maybe we'll talk about that one night this week too. Jonah 4:8. Jonah 4:8. Right before Nahum. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Jonah 4:8. "And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" A victim mentality. A victim mentality is unbelief. Here Jonah thought he's a victim. He's a victim of the circumstances. Everything's wrong. There's a vehement east wind. The gourd has withered. Poor, poor, pitiful me. And if we've been hurt, we have this tendency to go right here. And we clam up because we never want to be hurt again. These things are real. These things are... Can we think that God is not fair or right? Or getting frustrated or resentful about situations I cannot change? Some things we're taking into our... we're discouraged about, and we can't even do anything to change them. Victim mentality. It's a sign of unbelief. And then we go to Hebrews 4:6-11. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief," talking about the children of Israel. And tonight I wish I had time to read the context of all these scriptures. Go back and read them yourself sometime, because there's a lot packed in these scriptures. But for sake of time, we have to keep moving on. Verse 8, then for if Jesus had given them rest, would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And here this evening, if you've never been converted, or you're going about doing things in your own strength, there is a rest prepared for the people of God. There's a rest where you can come to the Lord and rest in His loving kindness, and through that rest, and even the things that come forth out of your life then can be Him. It's not I, but Christ that's working. And He tells us, let us labor. It's a labor of faith to enter into rest. We believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and that's where we get our salvation. We rest that Jesus died for me, and we can rest there. And it's faith. And we'll see that later on here, that how faith enters into our salvation. But same for ourselves. You have a problem with anger or getting upset at the children. Maybe you're trying to do it in your own strength. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is who I am. I need your grace. I can't do it. I get up frustrated. I get upset. I lose it. But you come to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Please have mercy on me and give me grace. Can you help me today? And He starts pouring grace through your life, and you come to a situation and you go through it and respond the way Jesus would. You cease from your own works. Labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And trying to do things in your own strength is unbelief. And disobeying is unbelief. And it's something that God hates. And it's a terrible thing. I've been in situations in life where you felt like this. And you felt that people had taken your hands and tied them. And there was nothing you could do. Your hands were tied. You wish you could do something, but you couldn't. Your hands were tied. This is what unbelief does to God. He wishes He could do something. He wants to do something. He wants to come through mightily in your life. But here's unbelief. Got His hands tied. And He can't come and help you out. Murmuring and complaining. Jude 16. These are murmurers and complainers, He tells us there. And we don't want to... Walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, have immense persons in admiration because of advantage. Murmurers and complainers. Example of unbelief. These descriptions, what do you see in each one of them? What is a common denominator, or what is a thread that's running through each one of these here things that we were looking at? Victim mentality, depression, discouragement, disobedience, negative attitudes. What is it? It's a looking down. There was a time I had a discouraging day at work. I was discouraged, and we only live about 3 miles from my work, so me and the boys, we bike back and forth to work. And here this day, I was discouraged. And it was a hard day. I don't even know what it was about. But Biking down the road, the boys, for some reason, I'm not sure, maybe they weren't old enough to be working yet. Anyhow, they weren't along with me. And I'm biking down this road, biking along, and I had my head down. And I had my head down, and lo and behold, I come to this neighbor that had a corn patch by the side of the road, and there was this person from town that come out to pick some corn from this here corn patch, and she parked on the road. And I'm coming down the road here, and what happens, but lo and behold, I run right into that minivan. And there was this poor Vietnamese girl up front there, I can still see her. Thankfully, they had the, it was one of those with the Dutch doors, and with the glass that flipped up. And anyhow, I flew into that thing. Everything in the bike just crashed. Everything fell to pieces. But I could fly in the, where the window was supposed to be. And my foot, my knee banged the Dutch doors. And here we are. The poor lady in the corn patch, she couldn't speak English. She comes running out of there, and she's worked up because the neighbor had told her, "You shouldn't park on the, you don't park on the road. Pull off into our driveway and park." And she was scared because she didn't park. She parked on the road, and she thought she was at fault. And I thought, I'm at fault. And there leaves the bike all crumbled up, but I wasn't hurt. And I got home, and I told my dad what was going on. And my dad was one that, when we got converted, we clashed. And there was much hurt and, between us. But the Lord has worked through the years, and today He's right behind us and a blessing and an encouragement. But He told me that day, "Son, you've got to keep your head up. You always have to keep your head up in life, no matter what." And looking at these descriptions, they're looking down. And if we're going to live in faith, we got to keep our focus up. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep looking to Him. We can't keep our head down because we're going to crash. We're going to run into something. We got to keep looking at focusing on the Lord. And not looking at the situations or self. And it tells us there in Isaiah that there are... God wants to bring up the low places and bring down the high places. And I believe one of the low places that God wants to flatten out in each one of our lives are these down thoughts. These thoughts of looking down. These thoughts of not that aren't in faith to the Lord. These thoughts that don't look to Jesus and see what He's going to do. These down thought patterns are like a wagon. And today we have these wagons with tires that are this wide. Back in the colonial times, in the days of pilgrims and people going across the land, they had these tires, these wheels on their wagons that were this wide. And if you go round and around and around and around in a yard, what do them wheels do but they wear ruts? And they wear ruts in there, and if they get deep enough, you can't hardly get them out. And that's what down thoughts are. And I confess, I was one of those with ruts, deep ruts. And some days today, yet I can still fall into them. We need the precious blood of Jesus to get us up out of those ruts. But not only that, if those ruts are deep enough, we need more than the blood of Jesus. We're going to need accountability. We're going to need our brothers and sisters. We're going to have to be able to open our hearts up and say, "This is who I am. And I need your help. Can you keep me accountable so I don't fall back down into those ruts? Can you keep me accountable so that I can stay up out of those things?" That's what the brotherhood is for. Maybe we'll talk about that some night. Day, maybe. Here we have a God who is almighty, merciful, just and righteous, gracious, kind and forgiving, and unchangeable love. And we can look to Him. We have the opportunity to live by faith, not by sight. We have this opportunity to live by faith. And my dear friend, if this is where you are, the devil is laughing. If he got you down, he's totally happy. And that's why I say a faith that, a hell-shaking faith. When you are down, when you have the down thoughts, when you are constantly looking down, and you have those victim mentalities and negative attitudes, and discouragement and depression, the devil's content. And the other thing is, if you are on the downward slide, if your faith you're not earnestly contending for, which was once delivered to the saints, the devil is content as well. And he is happy. Are you going to let him keep you there? He won't be afraid of you, my dear friend. Now, if you are one of these people, there's hope for a situation like this. We have the blessed opportunity of repentance, but turn with me to Psalms 57. And let's read this. If you are a person with down thoughts, or struggle with down thoughts, here's David, Psalms 57, it says to the chief musician, Altissus, Mittim of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave, in a situation where he could have been discouraged, in a situation where that could have filled him with unbelief. What does David do? Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Number 1:1-4. He was honest with God. He said, this is my situation. This is where I'm at. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful. And when you're honest with God, lean on His mercy side. Go after God's mercy side. Habakkuk 3:2. Habakkuk 3:2, God is a merciful God. And when you are pleading, and you're in a situation that wants to overwhelm you, go to God. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of thy years. In the midst of years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's what David said. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. My situation is in a place where I could be filled with unbelief. And then in verse, that's in 1-4, verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. He reviewed why he was here. He was here for God's glory. That's why David was here, and he said, "Be thou exalted, O God. Let thy glory come forth out of this situation." Then he says, in verse 7 and in 6 again, he was honest. They prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. In verse 7, he says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." He took control of his thoughts. He didn't let them thoughts go round and round and round and round. My heart is fixed. Taking control. I'm not going to let them spin here. And then what did he do? But he turned away from the situation to praising. "Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early." In verse 8, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations." And then he voiced God's faithfulness. "For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." Praise the Lord. You do the same. Look at this. Turn to Luke 17, verse 5. The disciples said, "Increase our faith." They said to Jesus. Verse 5 in Luke 17, "The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Then he goes on and he says something like, "Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by when he is come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when ye have done all those things which were commanded of you, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." The disciples said, "Increase our faith." What did he do? But he comes along and gives them a little story here. And the thing I take out of that is, he says, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Keep a humble opinion about yourself, and that will increase your faith. Here the servant said, I could. They should be thanking me. No, he said, "You're just an unprofitable servant. You've done that which you were told to do. Just stay humble about it." And then he goes on and he talks about the 10 lepers. And again, in the context of increasing our faith, he lifts up the thing of thankfulness. And that's the same for each one of us. Be thankful. It'll build your faith. And then we have this verse over in Matthew 8:10. And I had said we'll talk about this a little bit later. In verse 5, "Jesus entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him." And it goes on there. And the centurion, and Jesus said, "I will come and heal him," in verse 7. Verse 8, "The centurion said, I'm not worthy to come under, for you to come under my roof. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." My dear friend here this evening, you want to be strong in faith? Then be under authority. The centurion understood it. The centurion understood what God was, and he wasn't even a Jew. He understood that he was under authority, and he had soldiers under him. And men, dads, fathers, it's the same way. For each one of us. And you want to have strong faith? Be under authority. Authority is a powerful thing in the Lord's
economy. And dear friend, you want to be strong in faith, then be under authority. What gave the centurion strong faith? He understood God's economy. Romans 10, verse 17. Tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Dig into the word, dear brother and sister, fellow traveler. Dig into the word. It's what built your faith. I remember here one fall, summer, winter, we got slow. We read through the Bible in 22 days. Boy, I remember that there word just flowing through you like that. Increase your faith. And it does. Take those seasons alone with God and saturate yourself in the Word. How it builds your faith. It's true. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why do we need faith? Why do we? Ephesians 2 verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We were talking there about, in Hebrews 4, about laboring to enter into that rest. And here it says it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You believe that Jesus died for you. You come to the cross, and you believe that in the finished work of Calvary, and your faith rests. And you believe, and you confess, and you open your heart, you surrender. And some of that, it didn't all happen that way. We just believed. And the Holy Ghost flooded our hearts. And as He led us along, we cleaned ourselves up. And we continued to confess and share. And God has His ways. I'm thankful that the conversion work is not in a box. He has His ways of doing it to glorify Himself. But we're going to be strong in faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We're going to need it to live in victory. 1 John 5, 4. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it tells us, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And tonight, if you're drifting into the world, I can guarantee you, you're full of unbelief. You're not strong in faith. Faith is one of the things that will give us the overcoming strength, the overcoming victory to keep us out of the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord for that. Earnestly. Or seeks Him diligently. We read there at the beginning. Stephen. A man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. If we're settling down on our laurels and starting to ease into that rocking chair, into our Christianity, where is our faith? Is it waning? Is it going down? Some tests there that we can take. Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And some of those things, there are fiery darts. Discouragement. Things that the devil throws into our path to flip us up and depress us. Things that he throws into our path that are when he tells us we're no good. They're fiery darts. You have to keep that faith shield up there, and those are what will quench them. Be strong in faith.
Now turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 18:1-8. We read the verse in 8 at the beginning. Jesus said, will he find faith when he returns? What's the context? My dear friend. Verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Prayer. Where's your prayer life? When we're living in unbelief, prayer is hard to flow. Prayer is hard to get a hold of God and hang in there. And hang in there till God does something. And here Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And you know, this week even, if souls are going to come through, we're going to have to pray in faith. We're going to have to hang on to God. We're going to have to press in. We're going to have to get rid of unbelief. Or God won't move. Back in the old days when there was revival happening, different stories. I ain't going to say the men's names or whatever, but there's different stories of people that were not in the foreground. They were not in the front. They were content to spend hours and never be at the meetings. And they were the ones that were driving the thing. They were the ones that were praying. And when they died, the people quit. And I believe it today. Some of the preachers, I remember the stories. Some of the preachers in days gone by had prayer meetings built under the pulpit. And God was working. And to go somewhere in prayer, to be one that shakes hell, we need to be strong in faith and not settle down on our laurels and be content. And everything's running smoothly and we're going to we got a good thing going. No. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And we got to be strong in faith and prayer in these last days. I read there in Mark. Now let's go to Matthew 17:20. Jesus come off the mountain there with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured before their faces, and here were the other disciples. They couldn't, and there was a child that was before him, vexed with the devil. And in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And dear friend, tonight, that's exactly right. Faith. unbelief hindered the work of God in this chapter. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Here the fig tree withered away. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. And I know that's what the Bible says. I'm not there, and I know I say some, I feel almost like saying we should qualify this because there's been healings or things that we've asked for and it never happened. And we can start scrutinizing and it's unbelief and this and that. And I say in those things we have to be careful. But this is what the Bible says. Take it by faith and keep pressing in. Don't condemn yourself. Like I said, some situations, I don't know where to put these verses all, but this is what the Bible says. Let it increase your faith. It's all I say. May the Lord lead and guide each one of us so that we don't get into a name it and claim it and start demanding things of God that are an area there where I think we should be careful, because we can be demanding. And instead of being humble, broken people that will surrender to the will of God. But at the same time, let this build our faith. And may the Lord lead and guide each one. We must have faith to pray. And we must have faith to move mountains. And it can be done. And we know of times where there were people that needed to be brought to the Lord, and we prayed, and God come through. And there are times where we hung on to God, and we hung on, and we hung on, and they come through. And it would have to do in faith. But at the same time, I don't believe you get into the name it and claim it, and start demanding, and fall into that ditch. Now turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and work of faith with power. Praise the Lord. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear people here this evening, that He would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of it. God wants to work, continue to work in you, and He wants to do it with power. He wants to do it with anointing. It's the pleasure of His goodness. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Work of faith with power. May that be happening in each one of our lives. To receive the promises, we can't be in discouragement. We can't be in negative attitudes.
We can't be in unbelief. Romans 4:20. Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And Hebrews 11, verse 33. Hebrews 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Praise the Lord. We can be the same way. Through faith, obtained promises. Same with us here this evening. These promises that are in this word, our brother read some of them to us there at the beginning. These promises, we can obtain them by faith. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Here's a warning. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I know this verse here challenges me sometimes. Times when you ain't sure you can put your next foot in front of the other one. And you're not sure if you can continue on. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. Now, we want to look at Caleb. Joshua 14:11-14. Joshua 14:11-14. He come to Joshua, and here he's talking. And in verse 6 is where it starts. And he goes on there. Caleb the son of Kethanah the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong as that day I was, as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephthah, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephthah the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And it goes on there. Now turn with me to the next chapter, Joshua 15. Verse 13, And unto Caleb the son of Jephthah he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Erech, which city is Hebron. Check out the faith of Caleb. Now check this out. And Joseph and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman, and Telmai, the children of Anak. Here Caleb is, 85 years old, full of faith. Did he go to Joshua and say, I'm 85 years old. I want to build my retirement house over here in Hebron, and I'm going to live happily ever after. The faith of Caleb, who was in Hebron, that's where the Anakims were living. And good old Caleb here, full of faith, he wanted to go to the heat of the battle. He wanted to go where this is going to be, where he's not going to be able to rest on his laurels. He can't sit there and retire. No, he wanted that's where the Anakims were. That's where the giants lived. That's where the ones lived that scared the children, those 10 spies. And that's the mountain that Caleb wanted. That attitude of faith that drove Caleb. That's what we want. Not to be naming and claiming and all those things, but this attitude that Caleb had. And if there's a mountain in your life that you need overcoming, a besetting sin, something you fall into again and again, you want that mountain, then have the faith of Caleb. Or there's a soul that you need to, you're burdened for to see saved. Pray, Lord, give me this mountain. Have the faith of Caleb. And go for to be right in the heat of the battle. Right where the fire's going to be. Now, here is something you do not want to miss. Verse 10. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjathsepher and taketh it, to him will I give 8 Aksa, my daughter, to wife." Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Dear brother, dear sister, I know a lot of us, our hearts are to pass the faith on to our children. Our hearts are that the next generation catches our burden. Our hearts are that the next generation does not drift out into the world. That's our heart. Caleb here, his attitude of faith carried over. And my dear friend here this evening, it's going to be the same for us. The attitude of faith. If we're going to live in negative attitudes, if we're going to live in discouragement, if we're going to live in depression, if we're going to live in victim mentality, I fear that's some of the reason why the children don't catch the faith. And here, Caleb, he lived in faith, and men, fathers, take this. If somebody comes asking for your daughter, they want to start courting, then take this test. Caleb said, if anybody's going to have my daughter, they're going to be full of faith. They got to take that city. Then I'll give them my daughter. Don't be afraid. Be strong in faith. And then earnestly contend for the faith. What that means is what you believe. Be strong and pass it on. Lord, give us this mountain. Earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. We need the attitude and faith of Caleb in these last days. Othniel, he took it, and what do you see here? But Caleb's daughter, she caught the vision. And she come, and she asked her father a field, blessed her father so much. She said, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land." She moved of her father. She moved him to ask of her father a field. So she asked the field. Then she lighted off her ass and And then Caleb asked her again, "What wouldest thou?" She said, "Give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." He didn't stop with one spring. He gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. That's the attitude. And that's how God is. We come to Him with the attitude of faith. He does the same thing. It blesses His heart. Same as Caleb. Caleb, he could have just said, "Okay, you can have one spring." No, but the attitude of faith blessed him. So he gave her above and abundantly what she could even ask or think. And that's what happens with faith. Where are you? Jude 20, in closing, says this. "But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost and faith are like this." You can't separate one from the other. And if you need the Holy Ghost, then be filled with faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Turn to number 89. Says, "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, O may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire." While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. You know where you're at with the Lord. You know what goes on in your minds in the daytime. You know if you're are living in faith, or too many times seeing the dark side of life and living on the dark side of life. You know where you are. You and the Lord. You know. All we say is, be honest with God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, Lord, I pray first of all for my own self, Father in heaven. I don't know how to do these things, Lord, because, Father, I still am negative, Father, and need to go higher. Father, I still have a victim mentality some days and need to go higher. And Father, I'm not where Caleb is. But Lord, that's where I want to go. And I pray that you would have mercy upon my own heart. Father, that I can live in faith and be strong in faith. And Lord,